Welcome back to another layover. Again, in the studio with me today is Edward and Sam. If you haven't been tuning into the layover series, we're going from country to country of the 5410. You know, there's 54 countries in Africa. It's such a large continent. It's so much to digest that we're trying to break these down into 15-minute stories, narrow it down to one country, maybe one story, maybe one person, something that impacted you. So today we are in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what you experienced in Rwanda.
So Rwanda, we got into Rwanda during this time of the remembrance of the genocide. It is a time in Rwanda where people are spiritually low because they remember going through the genocide and even getting in Rwanda at that time is very hard. The government must know who is coming because some of the rebels who went away of the country might be coming. So we came with our teaching materials. They had to check through them, make sure it is good. And we even gave some of the security officers those pamphlets they were reading. But when we reached this church here, typically we pass through the place where the church, the Catholic church.
Oh, yeah, where it started. I remember, when I came in, I knew about Rwanda and the genocide there. I knew some of the stories, but to actually be with the people during their, I cringe to call it this, they call it a celebration of remembrance of what took place. The River Nile, was it the River Nile?
Yeah.
The river was so full of bodies and crocodiles that the crocodiles were next to the bodies because they were so stuffed from eating people that they couldn't eat another person.
Yes.
And so it just, but hearing this from them, and it happened like over 20 years ago.
Yes.
But when we were there, I think it was the 20th anniversary, maybe something like this. Mm-hmm. But hearing them testify and be so brokenhearted, like it happened last week.
Yeah.
And it was a battle between the, is it the Tutsis?
The Tutsi and the Hutsi.
And the
Hutsi. So the place where we had the meeting was really about 200 meters away from where the church where the rebels came and killed people and hacked people. So most of the people that were in that seminar, they were people who their relatives died in that Catholic church.
Terrible.
And so we are also having another meeting here during that very time. Mm. And one thing, we have this white man, and it is the white people from Belgium who left the Catholics, who left the people and ran, took their people and left them to be killed.
So what happened? It reminds me of, this happened in Liberia, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I won't get into it much, but there was a tribe that went to a church for asylum to hide in Liberia.
Ah, uh-huh, that is what happened.
Thousands, and they were all slaughtered. So the group went to this Catholic church to have asylum, to be protected, and the Belgium army flew in, their soldiers flew in right at the beginning of this massacre, and the people were begging them not to let them attack them. They were sharpening their blades on the concrete,
yes,
waiting for the soldiers to fly out, the priest and the nuns. So they flew in just to get the leaders of the church out, and they abandoned the people. And once the helicopters and the soldiers left, they went in and massacred. And I remember hearing a story about one man who was begging the priest to take his pregnant wife. Mm-hmm. He said, "It's not my baby's fault. Kill my children, kill my other children, but take my wife and my unborn child with you." Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They left her there, and she was just massacred. This is the darkness that's in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And to step into a country,
mm-hmm.
and to have these people gathering back together for our training, you know, everything seeks to divide us nowadays. division. We celebrate, in fact, we celebrate division. Edward, mm-hmm. we celebrate mm-hmm. the color of our skin. We mm-hmm. celebrate mm-hmm. The way we talk. We mm-hmm. celebrate all
even our names.
Even our names. But God brings unity, and truth brings power in unity. Yes. And so in this meeting, we had people there
yes.
that were so moved, because we did an activity mm-hmm. where they were pretty separated. Mm-hmm. And we did many activities, but one I'm thinking of in particular, where we brought them, intermixed all these leaders of different churches, mm-hmm. and they had to hold hands, and they had to toss balls back and forth to teach them about working together. And Edward,
in that church, first thing, according to the tradition there, there's where the ladies sit and the men sit in a church. Mm-hmm. So all these leaders, the women leaders were in one side and the men leaders were in one side. And another thing, this is a country that was divided between two tribes, the Hutu and the Tutsi. So if a Hutu is the pastor, then the Tutsi don't attend that church.
Mm.
So here we are, they have all come. Again, they are divided. And then we go through this teaching where we said, let's all hold our hands together. So the first thing in this teaching, we are breaking the first law, like a doctrine, that the women and men can't sit together. And now some says, unknowingly, let's hold our hands together. And
then, I didn't know, yeah.
Yeah.
And even breaking the barrier of these two tribes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And yeah, so.
And then we hold our hands, and then the leader gets into the center and start passing the ball, like passing the truth that God has given to you. So like, it was like I saw the one who invited us looking, so he was interpreting, but then he reached where he was like, he was shocked, like, mm-hmm. is this person going to throw the ball? Is a Tutsi going to throw the ball to a Hutu who killed his father?
Mm-hmm.
So then that thing, when they did that and they were throwing this ball, like, and some was saying, you don't have to choose who to give the truth to. Give it to anybody. Don't pass anybody. So they had to give it. And that was a teaching of unity of people yeah. who are not united. So miraculously, these people were doing this thing. You know, that is why after that, there was that singing and praising God,
oh, man.
Which was, it was like
a breakout of worship. Just a breakout of worship.
Goodness.
Which was really kind of moving, because I was like, man, these people are dancing and celebrating the word of God and the truth. And I didn't realize even till afterwards, and even honestly, Edward, I'll be
mm-hmm.
honest,
mm-hmm.
Even till right now,
mm-hmm.
listening to you share,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I feel like God has me sharing things
yes.
out of innocence and ignorance a little bit.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't know everybody's story.
Yes.
But the truth of God transcends everyone's story. And it is the thing that we all come together and submit to, God being king and his truth meaning more than our division.
Yeah, you see, that time, people are always in their houses. During that time, mm-hmm. everybody's with their family.
Mm-hmm.
But we called them, and the people came. They left their families.
There was close to 100 people
there. They are seated, mm-hmm. listening. And now the teaching of that unity, the power of that unity, as people shared, as women pass the ball to men, mm-hmm. and breaking those barriers. It is just like the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. You know, mm-hmm. like where, you know, how can a Samaritan mm-hmm. and a Jew, how can, is it yeah. possible? Yeah. So that was a big thing. So the pastor who invited me there, you know, he was translating, but then there's where he stopped. It like he stopped, like mm. something.
He was overwhelmed.
He was overwhelmed. Then mm. I asked him, man, Samuel, what is going on? He said, man, I will tell you after this. I will tell you what is really going on here. I couldn't believe that man could throw the ball, could pass the truth to the other. That is mm. why they were crying. Actually, people cried.
Mm.
People cried after that teaching. They cried when they were now singing. And they sang the God of you. They sang like, God,
mm.
purify us. God, make us. Mm. It was You know, these people sing in their languages, but they sing like songs which are preaching. People sang and danced and cried. Yeah. It was so emotional, very emotional.
Yeah. I remember a story that touched me when I was in Rwanda, you know, because it's very mountainous, beautiful country, and very orderly, very clean,
very orderly,
very nice. And I remember that the teachings, our teachings, they took them to the president of the country. And I started thinking about what would God do if God could get a leader who leads the president's millions of
cook.
People.
His cook came. This cook came to the meeting, and then in the hotel where we were, also his cook was there. The president cook was there.
Cooking for us.
And then he took the booklets and teachings.
Wow. But I remember one person just trying to share where they came from. And I asked where they were from, and they just pointed. We walked from over the mountain.
Yes.
And that's all. I don't know what that means to you or to anybody else, but it was such a surreal description of how you got to the meeting. I walked from over the mountain. Mm-hmm. So from the other side of the mountain. And I was looking at this mountain. I would not be able to walk to the mountain or up the mountain, let alone beyond the mountain. And so some of these people are walking for days, drawn to something deeper.
Yeah.
And this, I think this is a mark of all these places that we're laying over here, we're stopping at, these countries that we're traveling to, is there's a mark that people are drawn to the truth. Mm-hmm. People are, God himself is drawing leaders to these seminars, and more times than not, we are seeing tears in these leaders' eyes at the presentation of the truth. Mm-hmm. But I still remember that that person talking about how far he walked to get there and how far it was for them.
For me, what really tied my heart in Rwanda is how people can be bleeding inside, yet they with their struggles, they continue to serve the Lord. It is like obedience over understanding. People still believe God so much. It is at a time when people cry that you see somebody who killed your brother. You are with him in a fellowship and you are taught how to be united. They have this. They cry of the joy of God, but they still cry because of the pain of seeing you. And now, how many of us are bold enough to still serve the Lord regardless of our brokenness? You know, sometimes we feel like, to me, that is what Rwanda really tied me. How can people still walk the mountains? How can people still pass the truth with their brokenness? They know, I have not fully forgiven you, but because of Christ.
It's just so good, and what you're saying is so true. We don't have to press through a whole lot. You know, if we have a tummy ache, if we have, you know, not to get critical, I'm not trying to get critical, but, you know, but these people, this country is pressing through. The entire country is stopped.
Yes.
Because of what took place, a forever scar that is marked every single soul in that country. And to feel the weight of that, and even while we're teaching, watching God's healing coming through the Word of God and the teaching of these leaders, it was so moving. I remember almost feeling like this humbled Solomon, solemn kind of spirit leaving Rwanda, that this is just it was a heavy place to go and teach leaders. It was crazy.
Yeah, even the peace of that, the peace we had in Rwanda, just staying there, sleeping, it was so unbelievable that you didn't want even to go to the next country. It was.
If you think about it, Edward, what the enemy has tried to do, against humanity, to divide us and destroy us. Mm-hmm. To have two people just kill people because you have a different name or you have a different look or you have, it's so dark. The darkness is real, but so is the truth of God.
Mm. Amen. Mm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, those are some stories from Rwanda, and that's all our time we have for this layover. We'll see you in the next layover.